So if you are a first-time visitor here or kind of new to our church or to the Nazarene Church in general, our church year ends, I guess, technically tomorrow, right? Is tomorrow the last day of February? Yeah, so our church year ends tomorrow. So today I will preach, but it's going to be about half the length of a normal sermon. And everybody said, amen. Or, yeah, right, you know, that's the, I expected both of those responses. But I'm going to try and make it half the length of a normal sermon. And then I have a report, an annual report to give the church. So normally we would have a meeting right after service, but since we have childcare provided and you know, we're here, we thought it might be nice just to have this meeting. So it's a report that anybody can hear. We will be cutting the live feed. We'll be talking numbers and some stuff like that. But if you are not here today and you're joining us from home and you are a member of our church, I can get the email reported, or I can get the report emailed to you. I will be on script, so you won't miss anything if you had to miss this Sunday. So that's a little bit how this will look like. So we're going to have church. We're going to have a message just like we normally would. It'll be shorter. We'll have a response, and then right after that, we'll get into our annual meeting. Also, paired with that, you probably noticed there is a table with ballots and stuff out there. If you are a member of the church, your name should be on the list out there. If you haven't voted, there will be a couple people out there to check you off and let you vote. We are electing board members today. We are filling four spots, and we have seven people that have been willing to let their name run for that. So if you are a member and you have not voted, please make sure you vote before you leave today. I think that's all the business I had to cover. Would you pray with me? God, we just... We thank you for a moment to look back on a year full of ups and downs. And God, we just we want to just dedicate these next 10 to 15 minutes just to dive into your word and just know what it is that you would have for us this morning. God, we thank you for who you are, for what you do for us day in and day out in the lives of us as individuals in the lives of this church. So God, we just commit this service to you. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see you. Fix our minds and our hearts on what it is you have for us in these next few moments. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So next week, I will be in Florida. And I know that really, really stinks for all of you. But I have a conference that I have to go to, so it's not like I'm going to be just, you know, all fun and games. It's going to be indoors, looking out at what could be. So don't feel, you know, so bad. At least here, you know what could be outside, and it's cold. But so I'm not jumping into a series quite yet. so we're just going to do a quick one-off, and this might even feel more like a devotional. But usually when I prepare long, and I really try to prepare short. So we're going to jump right in. But this is just a short message called Hide and Seek. So we're going to talk about the word profitable for a minute. What do you think of when you hear the word profitable? Money, Walmart. Worthwhile. Okay. We're already rich. Yeah, we're already kind of getting where we're getting both sides of this, right? When you think of profitable, first things that pop into my mind are things like the stock market and you know, trading and all that kind of things. And you think about these big corporations, right? Like Apple is worth $2.7 trillion. Can you believe that? As a company, I don't think that's any one person's wealth, but as a company, $2.7 trillion. That's like government money. You know, that's a lot. That's a lot of money. And then Microsoft is close behind at $2 trillion. There's a lot of wealth just in two companies. Those are very profitable companies, right? You make a product at a price and you sell it for much more, right, than you made it for, and you make a profit, right? Maybe you've done some things that were profitable, but maybe just a little less profitable. How many of you ran like a lemonade stand when you were a kid at one point, right? You probably sat there all day in the heat and fought bees and everything else, and you came away with maybe $5 or $10, right? Is that how that worked? maybe we were in different ages. Maybe you came away with a dollar. Yeah? Is that even more? Yeah. Especially if you had to hand squeeze the lemonade and shake and all that stuff. Some things are profitable, right? But they're maybe not as profitable or as worth putting the time in. Or maybe when you were a kid, you sold Girl Scout cookies and you were very profitable, right? There are individuals that they make a killing off of, right? That was us this year. I'd say we had some Coopers make too cute of videos to resist over there. Whew. Oh, and I'll forget next time how cute the video was and we'll just buy them again. Anyway. But yeah, there are things we've all kind of experienced stuff around this word profitable. So it does have financial meaning, and that obviously is probably not what we're going to focus on, but to yield financial gain is what it means to be profitable, right? But for our purpose of the word, and we're going to find this word in Scripture here in a minute, is beneficial, useful, or advantageous. And it kind of goes on with other synonyms. Beneficial, useful, or advantageous. So the big idea, if you don't hear anything else I say this morning, know that the word of God is beneficial, right? The word of God is beneficial in our lives. And that's what we're going to talk about. So we're in this one scripture for a few minutes. It's 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 through 17. It says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So, first off, right out of the gate, all scripture is God-breathed, right? So that means literally it's God-inspired. It's the Spirit of God inspiring people to write. This is the Word of God. It is God-breathed. So it is God's Word. It is trustworthy. It is not the Word of man, right? That's why it is carried on for so, so long. Secondly, the profitable part. All scripture is profitable for teaching, right? So first thing, all scripture is profitable for teaching. The Bible contains what we need to be taught about God, right? Sometimes in our society, we treat the Bible as this textbook, right? That's supposed to give all the answers for everything in the world, whether it be science, math, physics, archaeology, and what have you. And the reality is that the Bible is the book that contains everything we need to know about our Creator, right? About God and who God is and how God loves us, right? So that makes it sufficient for teaching. It is also sufficient for learning, right? We can teach out of the Bible, but it's also sufficient for us learning. So it's sufficient for us to learn how to live in a relationship with God and to live in a relationship with others, right? So the Bible contains everything we need on how to know about God, relate to God, and then relate to others through that lens of how God sees and views others. Second thing, all scripture is profitable for reproof. Reproof is a weird word, right? That's kind of funny. Reproof simply means an expression of blame or disapproval, which is what you all wanted to hear. You were hoping that's not what it meant, and I know that because I was hoping that too, and I have to get up here and tell you about this. So, right? Reproof, an expression of blame or disapproval. What that means is that the Bible calls out our sin, right? The Bible calls out our sin. And remember, the Bible is God-breathed. So this doesn't say that you, right? Or, we'll point the fingers at me. It doesn't say that I am profitable for reproof, right? But Scripture, all Scripture is profitable for reproof. So I don't have the authority to go and say, hey, you, call out all this stuff, unless it is explicitly through the context of Scripture, right? If it's my opinion, it really doesn't matter. My opinion is not sufficient or profitable for reproof, and neither is yours. But most importantly, mine isn't, right? So, the Bible calls out our sin. That's really all that reproof means. That is the standard, right? The Bible is the standard. It's not whoever's opinion or someone's, in-laws or whatever, right? Whoever it is that's calling us out, it's the Bible is the standard. And if they're right, if they're doing it through the lens of Scripture, then they're right, you know. But if they're not, that's not sufficient for reproof. This is why it makes it difficult to read the Bible when we're living in sin, right? Because it's easy to feel convicted when we have, you know, whatever that is hanging over us, burdening us all the time. It's easy because the Bible just calls it out. It points it out. And when we're feeling something and reading something, it will automatically just make us feel that conviction even more. That's why it's difficult to read while living in sin. Aren't you guys glad that the Bible isn't just reproof? Wouldn't that be depressing? Yeah, yeah. What was next in the scripture? All scripture is profitable for correcting, right? For correcting. And this one doesn't sound good either, but it is, right? Scripture shows us how to turn from sin. So if reproof is calling it out, correcting is saying, hey, here's what you do to fix this, right? Here's how you get back to God. So the Bible is beneficial for restoring relationships, both with us and God and us and others. The Bible is beneficial for restoring relationships. God's word doesn't leave us in sin. And I think if you read any story at any point in the Bible or any passage of the New Testament, you know, you get that very quickly, right? God's word doesn't just leave us in our sin. Correcting brings us back to God. It's what turns us back that way. Next was, all scripture is profitable for training, right? So if correcting brings us back to God, training keeps us there, right? So if correcting brings us back to God, training keeps us there. I don't want to get ahead of myself. So think, if you are a musician or an athlete, or maybe you wanted to be a pilot, or you wanted to be a soldier and go into the military, or you wanted to be a scout, or whatever it may be, there's a lot of training, right, that goes into those things. So there's training that has to happen to really do anything, right? And it's the same way for following God, for being a Christian, right? God's word is training for being a Christian. If you want to learn how to fly a plane, you go to flight school, right? If you want to learn how to be a Christian and learn how God is and how to relate to him, you read scripture. It's training for being a Christian. Would any of you ever hop on an airplane with a pilot that says, this is my first time, and I skipped flight school? There's a lot of buttons up here, guys. We'll figure it out. No, of course you wouldn't, and I wouldn't either, right? Nor would you want to go to a concert of a musician's first time ever picking up a guitar or sitting down at a piano, right? Nor would you want to go to pay to see people play basketball who have never played basketball, right? Training is a good thing, and God's word is training for being a Christian. Now, we can kind of look at the Bible, or we can kind of look at scripture as God coaching us through scripture, right? My favorite coach right now is Frank Reich. Even though the Colts had a miserable end to the season, I still think he's a really good coach and a really good guy. And so insert your favorite coach wherever, but think of a coach, they would use the same process, right? You would get your team together, you would teach them, and then you would call out where they're doing wrong, you would correct them, show them how to fix that mistake, right? And then have them train on those skills, right? Am I far off? No, right? That's, any of you that have played sports or done anything, that's kind of the process, right? To teach, reproof, correct, and train. So the question becomes, what are we being coached for, right? What are we being coached for? Why does any of this matter? Well, at the end of the scripture, verse 17, it says, well, I guess this is the last part. All scripture is profitable that the man of God may be complete, or the woman of God, the person of God, may be complete, equipped for every good work. So we're being taught and reproofed and corrected and trained so that we may be complete and made whole in God and be ready for his works. So complete is a funny term too. It's very subjective, but adequate, enough, prepared, mature, qualified, proficient, or even perfect, right? It can mean a lot of things. But to be made complete we have to go through this process that that Scripture offers. To be equipped means to be made ready to qualify and to sufficiently prepare. So, if we're going to be mature Christians who are prepared, right, for what life is going to throw at us, Scripture is the key to that. You following? Okay. So God's Word teaches, it reproofs, it corrects, it trains, it completes, and it equips. That's really awesome. And let me tell you, that's just this one picture of it that Paul gives us, right? So cool. So how do we respond? How do we respond to this is the question, right? We want to be this. We want to be mature Christians. We want to be prepared and ready, and we want to not be doing things. We want to be corrected, at least by God, I hope. And the answer is the name of the message. It's to hide and seek. Or if you read the Scripture, it's actually to seek and hide. But Psalm 119, 10 through 11 says, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So seek God and hide his word in your heart. Seek God and hide his word in your heart. That's how we respond to the Scripture being this life-changing, God-breathed, profitable, beneficial power that we hold. Imagine, right? Imagine if we turned to Scripture for that whole list, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training, completeness, equipping, instead of whatever influencer on YouTube or whatever self-help book we've, you know, seen or heard about or whatever diet or whatever it is, right? Imagine if we turned to Scripture first before we went to all those things. How different would our lives be? How much easier might things be for us? Because the God who created us has breathed this whole stack of pages for us to consult and dive into and seek after him and hide them in our heart. You don't have to wait any longer, right? You don't have to wait any longer for teaching, for reproof, correcting, for training, to be complete, to be ready, to be equipped, right? Scripture is God-breathed and ready to help. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you that you've given us a coach, a guide that is your word and your word alone. God, that we can trust what Scripture says, that we can be trained and equipped and made complete by your words written on paper. God, help us to turn to that. Help us to be more willing to turn to Scripture first before we deal with whatever it is ahead of us. Help us to have that in our minds this week as we go about life and things get in the way, things become a problem or that sin creeps up and we need that reproof. God, help us to turn to Scripture for that and not the opinions of others or whatever else may be in our lives. God, we want to commit to being better about this. God, we want to dive into your word more. Help us to seek you out and hide your word in our hearts this morning. We love you, we praise you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The worship team's going to sing a song. We're gonna pray to end service. The live feed's going to shut off, and we're going to get into some business for those of you who care to stay for that. So we will, if you'd stand with us, we'll sing this song together, and we'll move forward.